The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we've entered the season of Epiphany. If you look up the word Epiphany in the dictionary, it'll say a manifestation of a divine or supernatural being. The word Epiphany is actually a Greek term used by pagans about their experiences of these beings, these supernatural beings or the gods. The claims to encounter supernatural beings in our own time is sort of looked on with question marks. A scientific age doesn't believe in invisible beings. But if you read enough, especially the kind of stuff I read, you find out lots of people have weird experiences of seeing things that don't quite easily match up with the secular world or the world we live in. So the idea that science can't explain it, it's really not true, may not be true. But at any rate, we still live, for the most part. I don't get up every day expecting to run into some sort of manifestation of spiritual beings. I just don't. The second definition, however, is more familiar to me. A sudden revelation or insight. An epiphany. And I'm very familiar with that. And I'd like to share one that happened many, many years ago when I was a brand new priest. He was one of the guys at the church I worked in who was just a wonderful man. And he shared with me an experience he had driving to work in downtown Memphis. So he says, as he got into the section not far from St. Mary's, there's a lot of homeless down there, a lot of people wandering the streets. And he says, I was at the stoplight, and I looked out to the right, and there's a group of homeless men, and I saw my dad. His dad was an alcoholic who had got that low. And it was really an epiphany for him, because although he knew his dad was in bad shape, it's still really a powerful moment to look out the window and there's your dad. Well, it was an epiphany for me too, because it's a reminder of the humanity of people who we sometimes drive by and kind of just don't see them as humans the way we all are. So that was a powerful epiphany. Another epiphany I experienced at that moment was realizing this guy who is one of the pillars of the church and one of the best men I've ever known in my whole life carried a secret wound, a secret pain that didn't come up in conversation. And it made me realize, if you look around the people in here, there's a bunch of folks in here have all sorts of stuff in their life that you can't imagine how horrible it was. And so it's an epiphany to treat people with kindness and to treat people with respect and recognize they don't always tell you about their losses and their struggles and their pains and their wounds, but they are real. The third epiphany I had at that moment was the realization, man, we really need someone to save us out of this mess. Because most people on the street, they can't get off the street. Most people just can't pull it off. And most of us can't pull off not looking with disdain on other people. We just can't pull it off. And a lot of us can't deal with the pains that we experience. And few of us can have true compassion for others' pains. So we need someone to help us out. We need a savior. The word epiphany has a synonym, apocalypse. So apocalypse means to lay bare, to literally take a veil off a face so people can see it. So it also means to manifest. And so apocalypse and epiphany, these two Greek words that have just been transliterated into English, are what we are in right now, a season of revelation of God's Son in our midst. You and I will find that the gospel lays bare our human existence, reality, not what we're trying to market to the world about how we're together, but the reality of our existence. We're all on a journey. Our journey as Christians, our journey as a faith community is under the rubric, it's under the light of God's revelation. Our choices are made in response to the epiphany of God among us. Now, I've preached on Matthew 3:13-17 probably a dozen times, or the parallels in John and Mark. I've taught Bible studies on the gospel several times. I have told you endlessly about the dozens of connections, the literary depth of this story. There are connections to Genesis, creation, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. There's all these connections, how words, the Noah Ark. And I know that all of you right now are stirring up in your imagination, dusting off all these remarkable theological insights I've shared with you. And if they're not there, I'll probably talk about them next year. But this year, instead of bedazzling you with those connections, what I simply want us to do is listen to these words. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. You and I are no different from the people standing by the Jordan River that day in terms of hearing these words. The voice from heaven speaks to them, it speaks to us, and it speaks to people in every age. And most people don't believe it. The vast majority of people in Jesus' time either didn't care or flat out rejected the idea. He only had a handful of followers at the end, and even they were kind of wobbly on what they believed. You and I this day can have an epiphany, or we can see some dude in water getting water poured on his head. We can see God's promise to be among us fulfilled, or we could see just one more person struggling through life. I know that to the degree I believe these words, my mind and heart are shaped differently than when I don't. I know that when I get up in the morning and the Jesus revealed in the gospel is the center of my life, that I'm kinder, I'm more patient, I'm more merciful, and I'm wiser. And to quote from Joshua this week, I'm also more courageous and stronger. Not as brave and strong and kind and merciful as I'd like to be, but far more than I would be if I didn't give my life to Christ. If I believe the words that He is the Son of God, then I can repent of my sins and have hope. Have hope that they're forgiven when He says they are forgiven. And maybe more importantly, at least for those of us driven by shame, be released from the shame of every sin I've ever committed and worried and fretting and allowing that to weigh me down so much that I'm unable to go into the future a more life-giving person. To be released from the bondage of sin. If it's true that that man is the Son of God with whom God is well pleased, then I no longer fear death because He goes the way before me and shows me how to live well and how to die well with the hope of resurrection. And no matter how dark things are, and for those of you who read like the news, it's pretty dark. Like it's scary dark. It's not just like some bad thing. I mean, it's like crazy, crazy dark. And when I find that dark and closing on my mind and I'm looking at my kids worried about their future and all the, you know, anxieties and wondering what's going to happen to my folks and my church, when that darkness starts impinging, I remember what the epiphany reveals is the light of God in our midst, that Jesus is the light of the world. And so I don't have to be afraid of the darkness, and I don't have to be afraid of what's going on, because I know the Son with whom God was well pleased has adopted you and I so that God can say to each of us, you're my beloved daughter with whom I'm well pleased. You're my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. You're my kids. Amen.